Hello, hello, hello. Marlanka with Sri Aurobindo, the synthesis of yoga. The very essence of yoga is for the contact of the human and individual consciousness with the divine. Yoga is the union of that which has become separated in the play of the universe with its own true self, origin, and universality. The contact may take place at any point of the complex and intricately organized consciousness which we call our personality. It may be affected in the physical through the body, in the vital through the action of those functionings which determine the state and the experiences of our nervous system. Perhaps through the mentality, whether by means of the emotional heart, the active will, or the understanding mind, or more largely by a general conversion of the mental consciousness in all its activities. It may equally be accomplished through a direct awakening to the universal or transcendent truth and bliss by the conversion of the central ego in the mind. And according to the point of contact that we choose, will be the type of yoga that we practice. For if, leaving aside the complexities of their particular processes, we to fix our regard on the central principle of the chief schools of yoga still prevalent in India, we find that they arrange themselves in an ascending order, which starts from the lowest rung of the ladder, the body, and ascends to the direct contact between the individual soul and the transcendent and universal self. Hatha Yoga selects the body and the vital functionings as its instruments of perfection and realization. Its concern is with the gross body. Raja Yoga selects the mental being in its different parts as its lever power. It concentrates on the subtle body. Now the triple path of works of love and of knowledge uses some part of the mental being, will, heart, or intellect, as a starting point and seeks by its conversion to arrive at the liberating truth, beatitude, and infinity, which are the nature of the spiritual life. Its method is a direct commerce between the human Purusha in the individual body and the divine Purusha, who dwells in every body, and yet transcends all form and name. Hatha Yoga aims at the conquest of the life in the body, whose combination in the food sheath and the vital vehicle constitutes, as we have seen, the gross body, and whose equilibrium is the foundation of all nature's workings in the human being. The equilibrium established by nature is sufficient for the normal egoistic life. It is insufficient for the purpose of the Hatha Yogin. For it is calculated on the amount of vital or dynamic force necessary to drive the physical engine during the normal span of human life, and to perform more or less adequately the various workings demanded of it by the individual life, inhabiting this frame and the world environment by which it is conditioned. Hatha Yoga therefore seeks to rectify nature and establish another equilibrium by which the physical frame will be able to sustain the inrush of an increasing vital or dynamic force of prana indefinite, almost infinite in its quantity, intensity. In nature, the equilibrium is based upon the individualization of a limited quantity and force of the prana. More than that, the individual is by personal and hereditary habit unable to bear, use, or control. In Hatha Yoga, the equilibrium opens a door to the universalization of the individual vitality by admitting into the body, containing and using and controlling a much less fixed and limited action of the universal energy. The chief processes of Hatha Yoga are asana and pranayama. By its numerous asanas, or fixed postures, it first cures the body of that restlessness which is a sign of its inability to contain, without working them off in action and movement, the vital forces poured into it from the universal life ocean, and gives to it an extraordinary health, force, suppleness, and seeks to liberate it from the habits by which it is subjected to ordinary physical nature and kept within the narrow bounds of her normal operations. In the ancient tradition of Hatha Yoga, it has always been supposed that this conquest could be pushed so far even as to conquer to a great extent the force of gravitation. By various subsidiary but elaborate processes, the Hatha Yoga next contrives to keep the body free from all impurities and the nervous system unclogged for those exercises of respiration which are his most important instruments. These are called pranayama, the control of the breath or vital power. For breathing is the chief physical function of the vital forces. Now, pranayama for the Hatha Yogin serves a double purpose. First, it completes the perfection of the body. The vitality is liberated from many of the ordinary necessities of physical nature. Robust health, prolonged youth, often an extraordinary longevity, are attained. On the other hand, pranayama awakens the coiled-up serpent of the pranic dynamism in the vital sheath and opens to the yogin fields of consciousness, ranges of experience, abnormal faculties denied to the ordinary human life, while it puissantly intensifies such normal powers and faculties as he may already possess. These advantages can be farther secured and emphasized by other subsidiary processes open to the Hatha Yoga. The results of Hatha Yoga are thus striking to the eye and impose easily on the vulgar or physical mind. And yet, at the end, we may well ask what we have gained at the end of all this stupendous labor. The object of physical nature, the preservation of the mere physical life, its highest perfection, even in a certain sense the capacity of a greater enjoyment of physical living, have been carried out on an abnormal scale. But the weakness of Hatha Yoga is that its laborious and difficult processes make so great a demand on the time and energy and impose so complete a severance from ordinary life of men that the utilization of its results for the life of the world becomes either impracticable or is extraordinarily restricted. If in return for this loss we gain another life in another world within, the mental, the dynamic, these results could have been acquired through other systems, through Raja Yoga, Tantra, by much less laborious methods and held on much less exacting terms. On the other hand, the physical results, increased vitality, prolonged youth, health, longevity, are of small avail if they must be held by us as misers of ourselves, apart from the common life, for their own sake, not utilized, not thrown into the common sum of the world's activities. Hatha Yoga attains large results, but at an exorbitant price and to very little purpose. We shall pause at this point and continue with the next episode of Raja Yoga. Thank you for listening to Auroville Radio. Hopefully it was clear enough and has touched you with its information, its enlightenment, its knowledge. So continuing next time with more of Synthesis of Yoga, Marlanka signing off. Bye for now.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.